You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, we are continuing our series entitled The Apostles' Creed. We wanted to jump into the series because we wanted to look at the statements of faith that you and I embrace. This was written about 150 years after the apostles actually had died. And you know, some people say or believe that this was written by the Apostles' Creed, which was not necessarily so. But years after that they died, they put together tenets of faith, the statements of faith. It's not nothing magical about this when we say it. It does not bring more blessing or more favor of God upon us. It's not like an incantation that we can use, but it is a summary of what we believe in. It's to define, defend, and declare our faith. To define, to be able to establish what we believe, to defend it, to safeguard what the Bible has to say and what we believe as a church community, and then also to declare, and it proclaims what we believe. And so again, these are things that we believe in as a church, and this is not just Victory, but all over the body of Christ, all over the world, okay? And it is important to define and declare what we believe, because what we believe will fuel and will drive the way we behave. And there are things that we believe in that are inconsequential, at least in terms of results after we've behaved accordingly. I don't know if I mentioned here, but I remember, maybe it's on the other side, I was talking about, you know, growing up just believing that if I eat watermelon seeds or swallow them, trees or plants will grow inside of me, right? And somebody told me that, and I believe that, and I stopped eating watermelon for a while. Now, you know, it's a pity I didn't eat a lot growing up, but it's no biggie, right? Nothing major. I didn't lose a lot of things there. But to believe in something that is wrong, like, for example, believing that your race, one race is more superior than the other, which will drive somebody like Hitler to try to decimate a whole race, is destructive and tragic, okay? And so there are belief systems that are inconsequential, but there are those that if you believe these, then it can be tragic or destructive. And so the seven-week journey we've had, these are the topics that we started with. You know, God being the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Week after that, we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, His Messiahship, that He is the Messiah and that He is the Lord and the Savior. And then week three, we talked about the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Steve beautifully preached the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And then today, we're going to talk about the church. What is the church called to do? And then week five, death, burial, and resurrection, leading into Holy Week, resurrection, and eternal life. And then finally, we'll wrap it up with ascension, second coming, and judgment. And so that's the seven-week journey you and I will go through. And so as always, we usually have people stand up and we recite the Apostles' Creed together. So if I could ask you to stand and let's read this together, recite it together. As our statement of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He descended to heaven, seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the creed that we just read, which is, Lord, based on Scripture. And Lord, today, as we talk about, Lord, the church, and as we talk about, Lord, Scriptures from Your Word, I pray that, Lord, You would anoint the preaching of Your word. I ask, God, that the way Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, that the Bible says, as the word of God went through, Lord, it would cut the hearts of the people. I pray that Your word would cut to our hearts, would not just be informational, but transformational. Lord, that You would give us ways to be able to apply what we will hear today. And so, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, we pray like that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, illumine our hearts so that when we leave today, we could honor and please you in the way we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. You may go and have a seat. Thank you. The part of the Apostles' Creed that we're going to talk about today is, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. And let me start off by telling this story. Last Friday, we had a very significant event right at the Garden Terrace, and after that, the function hall of the second building, because we took some time to pray and dedicate the building to the Lord. Pastor Bishop Manny Carlos came. He's the president of Every Nation's Philippines. Really represented every single one of us and just went to the Lord and said, Lord, thank you for the building that you've given us. And, you know, it was a ceremony of giving glory to God. There were government officials from the city and, you know, construction team, some of the room donors, pastors from the body of Christ, pastors from all over Victory were there. And again, dedicated the building to the Lord. And how many of you know God has been faithful? God's been amazing, amen? And just to be able to see that now standing, okay? And so also after that, Pastor Joey in the function hall came up and just really thanked our project team, Gigi Concepcion, Miss Cricket Abelio, who headed our development team, and then, of course, our contractors and designers, and even prayed for the construction workers, specifically the plumbers, the electricians, everybody who made this project possible, which I thought was brilliant as he prayed for them. And then after that, Pastor Steve stood up and really explained why we have this building, because and why, what's the vision behind the building. And he says, and I love what he said. This is what he said. He said, we're grateful for this building, but from day one, it's really not about the building. The building is a tool. Okay, from day one, we've always, the call has been to honor God and make disciples. We've honored God by the grace of God, we've done that, to honor God and make disciples without a building, and we will continue to do so even after we've outgrown the building. The building is a tool, it's not the end goal. And so he said, because the church is the people, it's not the building. Okay, we're grateful, and there they accelerate learning. We have like what was mentioned earlier. We have 17 nations represented that's going through the school today: Armenia, Cambodia, different nations all over the world. And so, but we'll continue to do so with or without the building. And the church will continue to advance even if without the building. Amen? Buildings are great, and they are a tool. We are grateful for it. And so, in the same breath, he focused and said, you know, the church is the people, not the building. Okay? And I know we say this all the time. We mention this every so often. And when we talk about the church as the people, because it's made of relationships. It's a network of connections, of people, of being together as a family of believers. And there is a difference between going to church and belonging to a church. There really is. It's possible to go to a church, but not necessarily belong to the church that you're going to. I recently got a fixed gear bicycle. And so I've been trying to, you know, bike to work and just really thoroughly enjoying that. One of the questions I get asked, you know, where do you shower? Do you shower when you go to work after, you know? I said, well, it depends. If I don't want anybody sitting beside me, I won't shower, okay? Now, there's a shower room in here. But I wanted to get to know more about, you know, the fixies. And so I got into Facebook and looked at a group there that I joined, right? And so it's hundreds, in fact, thousands of people are in that group. I'm part of the group, but I don't know anybody in the group. So it's possible to be part of a group but not know anybody. That's the world that we live in today. You and I live in that world today because of social media, because of the internet. You have hundreds of friends. Okay, you know a lot of people, but close relationships very little. That's possible. Okay, your relationships, you know tons of people. It's a mile wide, but relationships are half an inch thick or deep rather. And so that's possible because of this day and age today. And so the question is the church being commoditized? What do I mean? You see, commoditization means it's a process by which, you know, goods that have economic value become, you know, goods that have, you know, uniqueness in terms of value or because of branding. It's become simple, everyday, ordinary things to the consumer. Let me give you examples, okay, about commoditization. How many of you here, you're married? Raise your hand. Okay, great, wonderful. Okay, so raise your hand. Okay, so yes, we're married. Okay, and so some of you here are single. Anybody here single? Raise your hand. All right, good. Some of you single. Many of you, if not all of you, okay, all of you, okay. How many of you are one day you're praying to get married? Woo! Okay, it got louder. Okay, that's right. Come on. And so, you know, these days when you go to a beach wedding or a garden wedding, right? It's a major production. It really is. As a pastor, I've seen it, okay? I'm doing a wedding in a couple weeks in a beach. It's like, wow, it's really a major production, especially when you go out of town. And the videos, I wish, when I got married, my video was like analog, right? And it's like cut to cut, okay? And now it's like, wow, it's all these transitions. It's beautifully done. And it's the same day edit videos now. SDEs are quick. In an hour or two, right after the reception, you see the wedding, right? Then it was like that. And so, but you see, about several years ago, you know, same day edits. Okay, there was one name you would hear always. It's Jason Magbanua. But now your 17-year-old can do that, right? It's been commoditized because of technology, because of Final Cut Pro or whatever. You know, it's commoditized. Everybody can do it now, or even fashion. Right? You know, there are certain clothing or fashion or models or types of clothing that, you know, certain brands have it. But now because of, you know, commoditization or because of China, right? Chinaization, okay? There's such a word. You know, everything's available now. Forever 21, Uniqlo and all that. I mean, I love Uniqlo, okay, I'm wearing one, okay, it's affordable, it's, you know, it's nice. But the thing is this, though, because of a commoditization, you go to a party, you go to a gathering, hey, I have the same one, all right? Okay, and so, true enough, this morning, I came into the 10 o'clock service, Malu and Philip Nang said, hey, my son's wearing one right now, okay? And so, that's just how it is, right? And then, used to be able to hear, or even just on audit, sit down for MIT or Harvard or Oxford to listen to their classes. You have to pay thousands of pesos or dollars, okay? But now, you click iTunes University, you can sit in their classes on video, streaming, listening to what they're teaching there. I was listening to a class in RTS, or RTU, Reformed Theological Seminary, on their systematic theology class. I was there sitting in. Through iTunes University. Pretty amazing. Okay? Commoditization. And think about travel these days. Then, when I was young, right, to go to Hong Kong, it takes, what, 15,000, 20,000 pesos. Then, okay? So that's why when you go to Hong Kong, wow, pare social, right? It's like, wow, you went to Hong Kong, you know? And so, but now, you piece of fare your way to it. That's right, okay? It's been commoditized. The question is this, though. Has the church been commoditized? What do I mean? If church is just listening to a preaching, then I can just download the podcast. Or I can just watch on live stream because I can't go. I have a reunion or something, okay? I'll just watch on live stream. I mean, no offense to those who are watching live stream. We love you. No condemnation, okay? But just, there's nothing like being with the church community. Look at the person beside you. Look at them, right? Angelica, stay, look, right? Tell them, I'm glad you're here. God has placed a community, you in a community. If it's just an experience, or if it's just a worship experience, I'll just click Spotify. I'll just listen to Victory Worship or Hillsong. I'm already in a worship experience. Or click YouTube. There are a lot more anointed, powerful preachers online. You listen to them. They're more powerful than the one on stage right now, okay? But is that all that there is? Is that all that there is? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. Paul speaks about the church. And he talks to the church in Ephesus. And he says, the church is one body, under one Lord, one faith. And then he voices it out later on. We'll talk about it in a moment. But the church, if you think about the church, you know, you've heard of the word ecclesia, which is iglesia, and the called out ones. And we'll talk about that some more in a bit. But the English translation, okay, of that word is this one, okay? I don't even dare try to pronounce it. I'm not a scholar. But it means those who belong to the Lord. The word kurios, which is Lord, that's the derivation of that, okay? And so those who belong to the Lord, which I thought was fascinating when I was studying it, that's who is here today. You belong to the Lord. Paid with a price. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's who you are. That's who we are. And that's why the church cannot be commoditized, because those are three things we're going to talk about today. The church is holy, it's Catholic, and it's a communion of saints. And we'll talk about those three right now. Number one, holy. What does it mean to be holy? See, holy means to be set apart. Uncommon. Not ordinary, but uncommon. Set apart. And throughout history, God has been calling out a people so that he can call his own. See, holiness, surely the first connotations we have is, you know, pure, holy, and all that. But really, holiness of the church comes out of an exclusive relationship with the Heavenly Father. It really stems from a relationship. Why? Because you're set apart for me. Our God is a jealous God. Those of you who raised your hand for marriage, right? Or those of you who raised your hand so that you want to get married, right? Ladies, those of you who want to get married, right? And let's say you're in front, you're right on the altar. And then, you know, your lady exchanging vows for richer, for poorer. Okay? Sickness and in health. Till death do us part. Okay, and then the groom, your knight in shining armor, tells you, I'm going to be faithful to you 364 days in a year. And then you're wondering, what do you mean 364 days? Because just one day, I'm going to go back to my ex-girlfriend, but 364 days, I'll be faithful, serve you, provide for you, you'll be my queen, but just one day, give that to me. What you going to do? Okay, I hope you slap him, okay? I hope you do, or kick him where it counts, right? It's like, you don't dare do that to me, right? There, it stems from an exclusivity, a relationship. You're set apart for me. This is what it is. It's a that's why the church is called the bride. Holy, set apart. And throughout, again, as I said, all throughout human history, church history, Old Testament, New Testament, God's been calling a people to be his own. And so in the Old Testament, God calls Abraham, started a nation. But they fell in slavery to the Egyptians. God calls them out of the Egyptian slavery into the desert, through the desert, and then through the promised land, right? If you remember, Prince of Egypt and all that, okay? And so from Egypt, God pulls them out of there. But you see, he had to get them through the desert experience because he wanted to give them the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, which we'll have a series on the Ten Commandments in a few months. And so he downloaded the Ten Commandments and he said, this is how you're supposed to live as a people. You've been syncretized with their culture too long. You act like Egyptians. You're not Egyptians. You are my people. And so he calls them out and brings them into the desert and says, you are my people, this is who I am, and this is who you are, and this is our relationship. It's an exclusive relationship. Calls them out and brings them there. And then brings them to the promised land. You see, some of you are going through that right now. God's called you out of slavery, but you're going through a desert experience. Let me tell you something. You need to embrace that process. It may be inconvenient. It's dry. It's a dry season. It's a difficult season. It's like, Lord, why am I in this desert experience? I thought you said, out of darkness into light, and why am I not in my promised land? God's bringing you there. It's a purging. Maybe it's a purification process. You see, the people of God got out of Egypt, but God had to get Egypt out of them. There were too many years in Egypt, and so their lifestyle was Egyptian. God had to take that out of them and get them through that so that before they get into the promised land, this is how the people of God should live. Embrace the process you're in. You know why? Because if you don't embrace the process while you're in the desert, you might be there 40 years. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul now says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. There's a calling that you and I have been called into, called out of darkness into this marvelous light. As a church, as a people of God. In fact, 2 Timothy, he says there, he saved us, God saved us, and called us into a holy calling. Okay? Called us into a relationship with him. Called us to be set apart, not to be like the rest of the world. Called us, and it's plural. It's fascinating that it's plural. And that's the beauty of holiness, because my holiness is perfected because of Christian. And his is perfected because of Georgette. And his is perfected because of Emil. It's a corporate call. It's not just, I'll be holy all by myself. It's in the context of community. And you see, holiness, when God calls the church holy, it's not because of their merit, but because of the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross. You see, the holiness of the church is not because of what they did or what we did, but because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. And that's why in 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he saved us and called us, as I said, it's a plural. It's in plural form, okay? It's a corporate call. That my sanctification, my holiness, my being perfected into holiness is dependent on the people I am with. Okay? Let me put it this way. Remember, years ago, we had a basketball league. This was more than 10 years ago. With Victory, okay, churches. How many of you know that's a good idea, or sometimes it's not a good idea? Okay, like what Pastor Christian said. Sometimes those fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, fall from the tree, okay? Self-control, patience, and joy, to be exact. But, you know, there was one pastor, okay, this was more than 10 years ago. I won't say his name is Robert, but he was playing. I mean, when you look at him, he's like Kevin Durant. I mean, he plays really well. I mean, he's African-American. He walks like Kevin Durant. He swags like Kevin Durant. He shoots like Kevin Durant, okay? And so he goes in for a drive. Somebody blocks him. He gets fouled, but gets an end one, okay? So makes a shot, and then fouled, both of them on the floor, picks himself up, and the guy on the floor, okay, from a different Victory church, okay, looks up to him and you know, asks to be picked up. And so, you know, Pastor Robert looks at him, says, not in my house, bro, okay? And walks away, okay? And so, of course, no, his senior pastor comes and says, no, it's okay, he's just intense. And so, again, his holiness is being perfected, okay? He's much better now, okay? No longer like that, but whether that's him or us, how many of you know, we're all works in progress, okay? And so, somebody said, you know, if you don't want to get hurt, don't play basketball, play chess, right? And so, anyway, so, but he, you know, a guy picks himself up and, you know, gets, okay, brushes himself off. But the holiness, we're being perfected. And it's always in the context of community. And you know why people don't want to get in a small group? We've nagged on you in small groups, right? But it's not because, it's not really for us, it's really for you. People don't want to get into small groups. Why? Because it's inconvenient. Why do I have to go through the traffic and meet this guy? Can we not have Skypeship? Diba? Diba? Let's just have Skypeship. Let's just go Skype and FaceTime or whatever. Let's just face-to-face. Just through technology. I mean, technology is great. They're accelerators, but why do I have to face you every week? And then you tell me about my faults in life. and disciple me. But you know, I'm so glad. I'm just so glad what God's done in my life. I'm thankful for the people around me that surrounded me. I have to be told, Paolo, you're not treating your wife right. Paolo, the way you're working, you're not even spending time with your kids anymore. The way you're doing this is wrong. Somebody has to tell me to my face. You can't get that on a podcast. Sure, you can get theological teaching on podcasts. You can get that on watching somebody preach on YouTube. You can get that. It's probably more anointed than the person on stage. But listen, they will not. You cannot get that in a community unless you get in community. You see, verse 9 says they were the called out ones, the iglesia, the church. Okay, so that's the first one, holiness. God's making, perfecting holiness in the church. Positionally, you're holy because of the blood of Christ. Experientially, you're being made holy. Sanctification. And then after that, Catholic. What does that mean? Catholic means universal, united, one. That's what Catholic means. Okay, to be distinguished from the Roman Catholic, which is the more specific church affiliation. But it talks about Catholic meaning universal. Doesn't matter what your affiliation, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, as long as if you are a believer and you trust Christ as Lord and Savior, you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You're part of this holy Catholic church. So this means, Ephesians 4, verse 4, the Bible says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all and who is over all and through all and in all. Look at that. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That's what it means to be Catholic. One body. And victory is just a tiny, small, minuscule part of that body. That's why I cringe when people say, wow, we have the best church in the world. No, we don't. Just a tiny church, a tiny part in the body. I appreciate the love, right? But yet, we're just a small part. Small part. Last Friday, when we had the dedication ceremony, I was with two guys who, just some of the finest men in the body of Christ, Pastor Ricky Sartu and Pastor JP Makasayan from CCF. And they were just downloading to me what they were going through in their building, and they were asking me about the building and things about children's church. And I said, in my mind, I was thinking, why are you asking me these questions? I should be asking you these questions. I should be learning from you. Okay, but just seeing the collaboration in our recent teacher summit, they sent some of the their teachers in our teacher summit. And in the recent times, we've sent some of our worship services team to help, or at least not to help, but to learn from them. And just, let me tell you something. It's going to take more than one church to reach this city and this nation. So we're going to have to lock arms with the Catholic, the body, the one church, the United Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And one more thing. There's no perfect church out there. If you go out today and you search for a perfect church, don't go there. Because it won't be perfect anymore. Because you're there. But you see, that's the beauty of the church. Imperfect people joined together by a perfect Father in heaven. It's the beauty of the church. You go out of the Philippines, it's the same thing. There's a group, there's a United, there's a Catholic, there's a group, a body of Christ out there. And Revelation gives us a picture of the church. Chapter 7, after this I looked, a great multitude no one could number from every nation, all tribes, peoples, languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, worshiping the Lamb. That's the church. Finally, communion of saints. when Paul would preach or actually write epistles, he would address them to the saints of Ephesus, to the saints of Colossae, to the saints of Galatia, to the saints of Philippi. He was not writing to dead people. He was writing to people who were alive and who was part of the church, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So the saints are people who have been redeemed, paid for by the Lamb of God. And so on that basis of definition, how many of you are saints here? Raise your hand. Come on. All right? Some of you are like, saint? All right? And so, yeah, that's right. Because you and I cannot achieve holiness on our own. We've fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says. But because of what Jesus did, you and I are declared holy before His sight. So because of that, we're saints. So you can call them Saint Emil, Saint Georgiet, right? Saint Christian, okay, double yun. Saint na Christian pa, diba? So Saint Bernard, okay, that doesn't sound right, right? Okay. Saints. Now communion, when you talk about communion, it's a community, it's a fellowship. Not the communion, the Lord's Supper communion, although that's part of being in a fellowship. Okay? But communion meaning it's like this, the community. The fellowship, shared life as a result of shared truth. What is the truth? That you and I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 4:15, the Bible says, rather speaking the truth in love. This is, if you go down further in chapter 4, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. You know, that's why the church cannot be commoditized. It's not just an experience. It's not just a podcast. It's not just a live stream. Because speaking the truth in love will have to happen in the context of community. I'm glad my small group leader told me, Paolo, you're a great dad, but the way you're tolerant to your children, you're not giving them enough discipline. I'm just so happy my small group leader told me that. Or my other leader said, you know, Paolo, when you compare yourself to another person and make yourself like you're better than the other, that's arrogance. I did not want to hear that, but I needed to hear that. That's why some people don't want to go in the small group, because they're going to get offended. As iron sharpens another iron, so does one man sharpen another, Proverbs 27. You know, when iron sharpens another iron, there's sparks, there's friction. Let me tell you, if you're going to be part of a small group, if you're going to be part of Victory, you're going to get offended. You might be offended now. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. This is the truth of God. You have been called into a community. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, look at this, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. Some people don't grow because they're not part of the community. They're on their own. Okay? A branch disconnected will not grow. A body part that is disconnected will not only not grow, it's also gross. It's a horror movie. Okay? Shared truth. What is the shared truth? I mean, these are just five out of the many. If you are part of the body of Christ, this is what you believe. We've been forgiven, Romans 5:10. We've been set free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8. We've passed on from death to life, 1 John. We've become God's handiwork to do good works as He has prepared us to do them. And Ephesians chapter 2 says, we have been given an eternal home. Revelation 21. These are the things. You go to Pakistan, same thing they believe in. If they are part of the body of Christ, if they are part of the Catholic Church, the body, the universal church, this is what they believe in. You go to China, this is it. You go to Armenia, if they are part of the body of Christ, this is what they believe in. This is the Bible. Let me end with a video and I'll close. Aina was a young lady who was confused about identity and her identity in Christ. Life was without meaning. Just flowed with the river of life, I guess. Wherever the, you know, life would toss her, she'd be there. Until people who were not even pastors, not even campus missionaries, but people who were just classmates in school, introduced the greatest story ever told. You look at what God's done in her life, and it wasn't even because of somebody who'd been through seminary or Bible school, just regular folks like you guys. The Lord used them to touch her life. And so I want to take a moment to pray for a couple of things, and then I'll call Pastor Christian to end us in prayer. Just bow your heads with me. If you're here today and I just want to give an opportunity. Some of you, you've been coming to church a while, but you've never really surrendered your life to Christ. The Bible says God is calling a people to be His own. A holy, called out, separated, so that He can have a relationship. Whatever that was broken, that relationship was broken because of sin. And some of you here today, you know you're far away from God because of sin. But Jesus is reaching out to you today and saying, I have died. I gave my life so that you can have life. So I want to pray for some of you. Today can be the day when you can meet Christ and your life will never be the same again. He will be your Lord and Savior, forgiver of your sin, lover of your soul. If you're here today, could you just lift up your hands? I just want to pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. There's several of you. God bless you. Oh, I'm in the balcony. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. There's lots of you. God bless you. On live stream, if you're listening to this, you can pray with us. God bless you. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Because of your death, I can have life. I'm sorry for my sins. Receive your forgiveness. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Help me to live for you from this day forward. By your grace. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those that raised their hands. Lord, I pray that you would seal their commitment today. That they would know that they are part of the body of Christ, the communion of the saints. Lord, the body of believers. Thank you, Lord. One more thing I want to pray for is this before I turn this over to Pastor Christian. I talked about relationships and talked about offense. Somebody, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but somebody told me this. You know, I was talking to you about Pastor Robert, right? I've offended that guy so many times. I've done so many things to hurt him. He's done that to me also. I've walked out on a conversation with him because I got so upset with him. But to this day, he's one of my best friends. You see, somebody said this, Paolo, you need to adopt and embrace this attitude. What's that? I said, it's the attitude that says, it's going to take you more than that to offend me attitude. Why? Because you're going to get offended. When you're in community, somebody will say something, somebody will not say something. Somebody will do something, somebody will not do something. But you're going to have to embrace that attitude. Say, we're part of this family. We're together. We're in covenant relationship. It's going to take you more than that to offend me. So bring it on. Offend me some more. Come on. But some of you here, you've been offended by a friend, a brother, the church, small group leader. Pray for that, because you know the Lord doesn't want you to keep that grudge. Or just, Bible says, let no bitter root grow, and it'll cause defilement, not just to others but also to yourself. Just pray, bow your heads. Lord, I pray for, I'm not even going to ask for a raise of hands, but Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would uproot any offense, any bitterness. Give them the grace to decide today, Lord, that it's not going to hold them back any longer. It's not even going to cause them to not grow or put the blame on this person why they're not growing or why they stalled spiritually. So, Lord, I pray. I feel there's only a few, Lord, but may not be a lot. But I pray, Lord, that you would minister today and bring healing in these relationships. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord. Amen. Pastor Christian.
Why don't we give God a hand for that? Thank you, Pastor Paolo. Can we all stand up as we dismiss? You know, I like what Pastor Paolo said, that God desires for us to be holy. And His way of making us holy is in a context of a community. That's why the communion of saints is so important. And so, if you are here, and especially for those of you who made that prayer earlier, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, it is important that you are connected to a small group or a victory group. In fact, I'd like to ask, if you are a victory group leader, just please lift up your hand so that we can know who you are. And so, these people who are lifting up their hands are victory group leaders. If you are interested to be part of a victory group, just please approach any one of them, or you can go here. You can come here in front, so we'll gladly connect you to a victory group. Amen. Father, we thank you, God, that Lord, you desire for us to be holy. Yes, Lord, you also have given us, Lord God, the grace to do so. Father, we thank you for people here in church. Thank you that our individual destiny is tied up with the corporate destiny that we have as believers. And Father, I pray that you would enable us, God. Enable us, Lord God, to enjoy, maximize, and experience what it is, what it really means, Lord God, to be part of a church. God, Lord, I pray that you would bless every family represented here, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God, this week in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. See you next week.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.